What's going on, Wes?
What's up, Brian? 'Twas the night before Boston, and all through the house, a bunch of empty suitcases, and I better get busy.
Yeah, for real, man. For real, this would probably be a little bit of a shorter show because Wes and I both have a lot to do before, and that is always the indicator that it's going to be like a 3-hour episode somehow. So we are aware of that as well. But yeah, we got a lot of shit to take care of, man. PAX East begins tomorrow, and I'm only now like really starting to formulate some plans. I apologize. So many people have emailed me and DM'd me, and I am desperately working on getting back to everybody. So please be patient. But in the meantime, Wes, let's do a show.
Let's do it.
Sirens on my end. This is PSVR Gamescast Live. We film live every single Monday, Wednesday, and Tuesday, Friday right here on YouTube. We do it live 6 p.m. Eastern for your viewing pleasure, but we do care so very much about your oral pleasure. That's why our good friend Rypop uploads this on podcast services of your choice. We also care about your time, man. We like to sit around, shoot the shit, waste your time, waste our time. You know what I mean? We have fun, and that's all that matters. But for the people who don't have that kind of time to sit around and have their time wasted, Brody the Game Cat Army General puts timestamps into the show after the fact. So if time is of the essence, make sure you wait for those timestamps. I've had a lot of comments, Wes, about people saying, hey, are you going to cover this Bloomberg news story? And I was like, yeah, we fucking hid that shit in Monday's episode. We didn't put it in the headline. We didn't put it in the tagline. We didn't put it anywhere. It's not in the thumbnail, but we definitely talked about it quite a while. So make sure if that's the news you're looking for, if you want to hear our mine and AJ's opinions about that, tune into Monday's episode. Although Wes, I don't want to like leave you hanging here. Did you have any opinions about the Bloomberg article that everyone seems to be talking about these days?
I mean, how many of these articles are we going to have to comment on? Don't panic. That would be my big takeaway from it. Don't panic. I mean, obviously it's not great news. Oh, great. They've paused production because they've got a sufficient stock built up. I mean, it's not a big surprise, right? All the press around PSVR2 for the last 3 to 6 months has been negative. And, if there's been a sales slowdown, it's not shocking. But if the games are in development that we believe are in development, that's going to turn around. But regardless of any of that, it's already a great platform, and it's not like they're just killing it. It's not like it's Vita or anything. They're just doing what any business would do. And once you reach a good amount of supplied stock, then you just, you stop for a little while. I got to imagine the same thing has happened with the Quest and other devices as well, but for some reason we don't get a news article every time production stops anywhere else.
It is a little bit strange. Yeah, there's all these sorts of double standards, and I'm sure, I mean, listen, I had some conversations after Monday's show, and people are, you know, there were certain people being like, listen, you can't walk around with blinders on, and you can't whatever, right? It's just being like, maybe I'm coming across too optimistic. And I think that the downside is you know, of having to run a channel all about PSVR2 and playing every single game that comes out. Like for me, we're loaded with games. We have so many games. I can't even cover them all. I'm doing my absolute best. I'm trying to pump out like a review and a Brian Bite every week, and I can't keep up with that. And so from my perspective, you know, we have it good and things are going well, and we've gotten a lot of great third party content. And looking at the first year, it's been a great first year. But I'm not blind to the fact that, like, you know, I'm sure Sony would have really been happier if this thing sold better, right? I'm sure.
Yeah.
And I think all the cats out there who have a PSVR2, as much as they're loving it, we all agree that even more first party support would be even better, right? No, I don't think anyone's in denial about these things, and it just sucks that we always have to be on the defensive and be like, you know, show a counter argument to this insane negativity that's out there. And so sometimes it does seem like, oh, Brian's a fucking fanboy. Sometimes it just seems like that because of the position that I'm forced to take, you know, being like, hey, here's the counter argument to the insanity out there. Right. So I do apologize if I ever come across like that. And, you know, we're always trying to remind everyone that the sky is not falling.
Well, yeah, exactly. And, you know, we have to be honest, of course. We can recognize when bad news when we see it. But when you have literally every other outlet out there overblowing bad news and making it out to be more significant than it is, then we are put in a position literally where we have to be the voice of reason. We have to present the other side and say, hey, look, it might not be all that bad. Sure, it could. You know, it very well could be the next Vita and it get canceled. I mean, we do have new leadership coming into Sony. Maybe the new leadership's going to hate VR and put a stop to it immediately. But there's nothing to indicate that just yet. And I think that all of the negativity and all the overblown reaction to every bit of less than positive news that hits it only makes things worse. And I want to do everything that I can to make things better. And the best way to make things better is to get people in these headsets. And the best way to get people in these headsets is hype it up. So that's what I try to do. You know, again, at the same time, well, you have to be honest and recognize when, you know, the potential for something bad to happen is always going to be there.
The Game Cat, Andrew Ehrenreich, with the Level 2 membership. Don't forget, guys, you get a free Super Chat every month by being a member over here. Writes, finally watched my first episode of Virtual Strangers. Aw, Wes. Look at the Game Cat love spreading around. Made me really want to go and buy a Quest 3, never watching Virtual Strangers again.
Yeah, we'll do that. I'm surprised you haven't started building your PC up yet, Andrew, because we were really heavy on the mods this last week.
Andrew, I've got an extra one just sitting around here collecting dust, as Ryan McCaffrey would put it. You know, Game Cats help each other out. Let me know if you're in need.
All the Game Cats come to Boston, bring your quests. We'll play together.
I'm going to bring my Switch. I may be alone on that, though. So I might be playing Mario Kart with people who aren't even here. Hey, I want to give a quick shout out to one of the loyal Game Cats, Razor Light Mike. I think he's over there in the UK. Wes, I've been bitching a lot on this channel for many years now about the PlayStation Store. And Razor Light Mike had commented recently saying, Brian, you were talking about the PSN store for its lack of user friendliness. It's so bad. I went to buy Paint the Town Red, the store, both the app and the website it's listed on, is released as March 14th, 2024, but also in the UK, quote, not available for purchase. What the heck? And so I mentioned to him, I was like, hey, I've heard from some people being like, hey, you have to go over to the flat screen version, click the three little dots, and then like you can buy it that way. So like to select which version you want to buy. And so he says, he responds, he goes, even worse. On top of that, there were two versions of the VR1. The default one was $7.99 and not purchasable, but was listed as release of March 14th. The second one, which did not appear on the UK app or the UK website, only on the PlayStation 5, was $15.99 and is purchasable. He said, did you say Sony takes 30% of sales to deliver that? So, shout out to Razor Light Mike, just kind of pointing out the ridiculousness on the PlayStation Store. It is, they need an entire store renovation over there. Things are fucking terrible. Here's somebody who like is seeking out a game because we talked about it on the show and cannot even find a way to purchase it on the PlayStation Store. And it does, I don't think it gets worse than that. That is abhorrent.
Yeah, it's bad. And it has been bad for a long time. I typically try to do all of my business through the webpage on my PC, but sometimes I just have to go into the app or into the console itself to do what it is that I need to do. So, Yeah, I feel your pain, everyone out there.
Don Can 94 with D10 Chieftain says, by far the biggest hurdle for any VR, including Quest, is the price. $500 is too expensive for most consumers. $300 to $400 seems like the sweet spot. That's why Meta is releasing a cheaper Quest 3 Lite. I did see some comments, or at least one comment that I really enjoyed. They said Sony just needs to drop the price to $300, package in Astrobot, whether that be a remastered Rescue Mission or a new Astrobot game, and sell a billion units. Do you think it has to get that low, Wes, or do you think like even getting it down to 400 would make sense?
I think getting it down $50 even would make a little bit of a difference.
Down to 500.
We need to keep in mind. We need to keep in mind that they are selling to PS5 owners primarily. They're not just. It's not like if it gets down to $300 that anybody on Earth is just going to be able to pick one up and jump into VR. They're selling to their own crowd right now. They're selling to people that have PlayStation 5s. And when you're talking about people that have PS5s, we're talking about people that have already dropped $400 on the console. So basically, you just need to convince these passionate gamer types that the value proposition is worth it. And while I agree that a price drop would be the biggest thing that could help them right now, outside of, you know, announcing some banger first party titles, we don't know what it costs to make these things. You know, Quest 3 is great and all. Quest 3 doesn't have eye tracking built into it like this one does. So, I mean, we're talking about them stopping production. This very well could be a move, like a power move, for them to push their suppliers to drop the cost of the components that are going in on it. Like, if they stop ordering these cameras and lenses and everything that goes in it, then the demand therefore will drop for these items, and then maybe they can pick back up later with a lesser cost to manufacture these headsets, and then pass that savings on to the consumer. But I don't think they're about to drop the price on it, and the reason why is because they're about to start supporting PC on it this year, and I think that that's a move to basically open this up to a whole new market of VR user who will jump at the chance to pick up a VR headset that has OLED panels and eye tracking for less than $1,000. I agree. You know, it would help a lot if the price were to drop 50, 100, even more. But I don't think that's the biggest hurdle. I think bringing some PSVR 1 titles along to PSVR 2, and then announcing some new first party exclusives to get the PS5 fan base excited for VR would be the biggest thing that they could do.
Yeah. I mean, obviously there's been a lot of talk about, you know, what Sony's support of the headset. And, you know, I think, you know, we've gone on record multiple times trying to explain to people how Sony's been supporting the headset without bringing, you know, Uncharted into VR or Ghost of Tsushima into VR, right? A couple hybrid titles, a built from the ground up VR game, the Resident Evil games. This is all Sony's doing. Not to mention some of the smaller titles like Synapse and Song of the Smoke Rekindled. I mean, the list goes on and on. But what people want are these big marquee titles. What people want are, you know, bigger, more expensive games. And something that really pushes the hardware and shows people why they need to get one. And there was just something about that comment, packing Astrobot in with the headset, right? It just seems like, you know, maybe Horizon's not for everybody. Maybe an Uncharted game wouldn't be for everybody, but I do feel like Astrobot is for everybody. Astro's their Mario. Like, you know, it doesn't matter if you're old or young or whatever, like that game is just fucking oozing charm. And so getting Astrobot over there, you know, and promoting the headset with, you know, games like Aces of Thunder that look like it's going to be amazing and really exciting to play, and sort of ushering this new era of PSVR 2 in, I do think that announcing some new games, some big games, first party games, and talking more about the PC compatibility, That's their next step for sure. So I'm with you, man. I'm with you. It's like, see how many you can sell at this price point, before you start getting the price really, really low. But yes, I mean, you know, obviously the lower the price is, the more you're going to sell. I just don't know how low they can go.
Right. They just need to show us what's happening. They're being so quiet on the future of PlayStation in general. Again, it's not just VR. It's flat. Everything. They're not hyping people for 2024 at all. So I feel like, you know, I don't know how their console sales are doing right now. I'm sure they're doing just fine, just because they're living off of the goodwill that they built up in the last generation. But people are going to lose interest if they don't do something about that. And again, it could have something to do with the change in leadership at Sony, or it could have something to do with a million other reasons. But I think there's a lot of insecurity right now based on just the way that Sony's marketing everything in general right now.
Yep. Yep. I mean, you gotta look at PSVR 1's lifespan. Sony didn't have a ton of games in development leading up to the launch of PSVR 1. We didn't really see a ton of support from them until, you know, for the first 2 years, really. I think right. 2018 might have been like the real heyday. 2018, 2019. I got to go back and look at some release dates. But yep, it's I think if they've got stuff in the works, we should be hearing about it soon.
Agreed. And it's probably stuff that's all in development. But again, they didn't finalize the design, the dev kits for PSVR 2 until relatively recently in terms of game development. So, you know, the games that we think are coming are probably only about midway through their development cycle right now. And they probably don't want to pop them too early and then, you know, have a long drawn out period between announcement and launch. And that's most likely why we haven't heard anything yet.
Yeah.
But it's coming. I'm still confident.
Yeah, I'm still confident too. Which is, you know, again, sort of like the role I've been forced to take. You know, I was confident all through PSVR 1 lifespan. We got plenty of first party games. It was a good time. You know, again, as AJ and I always point out, people told us constantly that PSVR 2 wasn't coming, and we remain the eternal optimists. And we got our PSVR 2. And so far, so good. Professor Lilith with the $5 tip says the Sunday multiplayer survey is posted. Choose among Cave Digger 2, Crisis Brigade 2, and oh, Wes, finally, Stilt. Two of these games are on sale. Hint, hint. It's happening at 2 p.m. Eastern every Sunday. Let's see. Cave Digger 2, Crisis Brigade 2, and Stilt. Man, I don't think I'm going to be home for this, but I really hope Stilt wins because Stilt was a lot of fun multiplayer. It's goofy. I loved it.
It's good, and you can bring a lot of people into it at one time. And yeah, you're right. It's just kind of chaotic, fast paced, fun. I think so.
Yeah. One of those games that just makes you laugh. So everybody, if you don't participate in our Sunday multiplayer meetups, people are always complaining. Oh, there's no one playing this game. Guess what? We have the solution for you. One of many over on our Discord. So click the link in the description below. Come join our Discord. Vote. Which game you want to play Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern? Stilt, Crisis, Brigade 2, or Cave Digger 2?
You know, before we move on, Brian, I'm going to phrase a question to you here because I'm not sure what's public and what's not. Have any social VR platforms been announced publicly for PSVR 2 yet?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. Well, I'll just say this then. I played one today that is coming to PSVR 2, and it was a pretty awesome experience, man. Like, there was a lot of the user interface was pretty incredible because everything runs on AI in the thing. The NPCs are AI. All of the interfaces AI. A lot of the worlds are AI, and you interact with things by literally holding down the what would be the X button and speaking to it. And still a little rough around the edges. It's still in kind of early access phase, but but it was pretty incredible. And I know that people in PSVR land have wanted a good social platform for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you this one's looking very promising.
Good to hear. Samson143VR. I want to talk to Samson with the $2 tip. Says, I'd love a PS5 and PSVR 2 combo for like $800 to $900. That's a major price cut for a combo, for a bundle. But
we could get it, though. I mean, there's a new console coming, right? So we may see a price drop on the base consoles. And maybe, who knows? Maybe they would kind of bundle that up with the VR 2.
All right, man, where are we at? Where are we at? I'm going to start the show. Did you see the Road to VR article where they talked about that Servius? Dude, Servius hasn't released a game in forever, in my head at least. I guess the remaster for Creed Rise to Glory. But they did say that the Aliens VR is still coming. Did you see this?
Yeah, I didn't see the article that you're talking about, but I did hear about this news through the grapevine. Apparently, Servius did a little talk during the early part of the GDC week, and right at the top of the thing, they mentioned that they're in development for a Aliens VR game. Again, I don't want to step on the article and spill things that are not public yet, but it's sounding pretty good.
The article states it's been more than a year and a half since developer Servius announced development of an Alien game, but since then the studio has been very quiet. We still haven't seen any gameplay footage, let alone screenshots. In this volatile time in the gaming industry with studios closures and layoffs abound, it's never a sure thing that a game will actually make it to market. Fortunately, we now have word that the game is still in active development. This week at GDC 2024, Servius CTO Alexander Silkin gave a presentation covering some of the challenges and opportunities of building VR games with Unreal Engine 5. In the session description, the studio clearly affirms Servius is utilizing these techniques to develop an upcoming VR game based on the Alien franchise. Considering the game still hasn't had a formal gameplay reveal, we're not expecting the talk itself will reveal much beyond technical development details, but at least we know the game is still in the works. It sounds like you have faith in Servius delivering something of quality of this game. Is that true, Wes?
Well, let's be honest about it. Servius production value was never their problem. Like everything they put out, the UI is great. The movement and all of the interactions are great. The worlds are beautiful. It sounds good. They've just been putting out games where the gameplay loop or the concept for a game has been less than great. We'll say that. Kind of boring in most instances. But they haven't put out anything where I've been in there and said, wow, what a terrible idea. Anything that I've played from them, it's always been more like, man, if they would have just done X, Y, Z, this would have been great. So I'm very confident in their ability to make a good game. As long as they have a concept for a good game, and they have said in previous talks about this Aliens VR game, that they're planning to make this kind of a spiritual sequel to Alien Isolation. And if that's what they're attempting, then I think it has a lot of potential to be really good.
Yeah. It's funny because the first press release that came out about this called, referred to it as an action horror game, and I was like,
yeah, right,
it's like, all right, cool. And then fast forward a year and we hear from the CEO saying, oh yeah, so we want it to be a spiritual successor to Alien Isolation. And you got to wonder how much of that is them did the vision change during development? Did they realize that maybe what they were doing wasn't the right thing? Is it still going to be action heavy? Or did they just want to like throw in Alien Isolation during this talk because they know that not, you know, a lot of Aliens games aren't very good. And Alien Isolation is the one we all have a soft spot for. And Alien Isolation is the one we keep asking for. Just fucking bring it to VR. Like, don't even make a new game, Servios. Get the rights to Alien Isolation. Talk to Sega. Make that happen. Right? So maybe they just threw that in there to kind of, like, make people feel confident about what they're doing. Dude, I can't believe that this got announced so long ago. Still not a fucking screenshot, never mind a trailer. But that's what leads me to believe that maybe development changed midstream. Maybe they did have second thoughts about what they were doing.
I think it's very telling that they're now revealing that this is going to be an Unreal Engine 5 game. Had they said that before this week?
I don't believe so. I don't believe so.
Because it's only the later versions of Unreal 5 that have really been friendly to VR development. 5.3 is kind of the big one that makes big leaps. So, for example, the social platform that I was in today was a Unreal 4 demo, but they are currently in process of moving it over to 5.3. So it could have been that a lot of what they've been doing in recent months is moving over what they've had into the new engine, and that's why we're now hearing about Unreal 5. I want to say that Legendary Tales tried to do this last year and then just found it to be too much work for the budget that they have, so I think it might still be an Unreal 4. But the point is that's not it's not an easy thing to do. It takes a lot of work, and I think that they probably announced this thing as soon as the ink dried on the contract for the IP, and probably got a little way into development and decided that they probably wanted to go a couple of different directions, one of them being with the type of game that it's going to be, and then the other one being in the engine that it's being built in.
Cousin Ed in the chat says, there's a new studio, I heard, that could port Alien Isolation.
This is very true.
Wow.
This is very true.
Been keeping that under your hat for a while, haven't you?
A little while. Honestly, it came together quite quickly. Now we've been working with these modders for a while on a specific title that hasn't been announced. But only recently did it really kind of blow up into what it is now, and where we brought in so many more people and really expanded the scope of it and put its own label on it. But I want to thank everyone for all of the noise that people have been making about Flat to VR Studios. It is very helpful. Our team is on the ground in GDC right now, owning it, man. We're making new relationships. All these games we've been getting emails in, bring this game, bring that game, bring this game. Like, you all are making that happen by putting your voices out there, letting these studios know that there is a demand for this stuff, and we're finding it very helpful. So you guys keep it up, keep making noise about this stuff. Let these studios know that they need to bring their games into VR, and then tell them where they can go to make that happen. It's been pretty awesome few days, to say the least.
Yep. I'm very excited to see what they're able to do. I had a thought here somewhere,
they've already made some pretty big relationships since we dropped the announcement on Monday. I'd love to just start rattling off the games that have been in discussion, but I can't do that. But I assure you that it's a big deal, and it's going very well.
Nice. Yep, this is what we've been asking for years now. So not to see that it's happening, but not just happening, but happening with the cream of the crop. Seems like some of the most talented VR modders out there. That is, I mean, probably one of the best things I think the VR community could have asked for. So congratulations.
Yeah, we've got most of them, man. We've got most of them. There's only just a couple that's not in our stable already, and that doesn't mean that they won't be shortly, if you catch my drift.
Catching your drift. Shout out to Chris Forthenberry. Happy 40th birthday today, my friend. Loyal Game Cat. Everybody in the chat, make sure you give Chris happy birthday greeting. Big 4-0, man. It's all downhill from here. But glad you're here for, you know, before the crash. All right, man. We got a few more things to talk about here. Developers over at Fast Travel Games revealed a gameplay sneak peek regarding Mannequin. Is this their next game? Why am I blanking on Fast Travel right now? I mean, obviously they just put out Vampire not that long ago, but is Mannequin like the next? I can't think of anything else coming down the line from them.
Yeah, it's their next in-house title. Okay. Obviously, they have partnerships going on to publish certain other games. The partnership with they announced a new company called Moon something with the people from Ghost Giant, where they're doing this like Tim Burton-esque claymation sort of game. But I think that's probably going to be next year. I think Mannequin is the next big one, and it's certainly the best or the next one from their studio.
Yeah, it was like the evolution of a of the Among Us social deduction genre that Among Us kind of created, it's looking pretty good. I definitely missed it because I didn't really take the time and watch this. Did this give us any indication on how many players there you can play with? Because obviously it seems like the more the better.
It's like three or four play on one side, and then up to two on the human side. So you could have I want to say four. It's either three or four alien imposters, so to speak. And then you have two humans trying to hunt them out.
Yeah. I'm looking up this Steam page right now because, and I feel bad, man. I'm like super distracted and just I feel like I'm not even quite here at the moment.
Miles says it's 3v2.
3v2, perfect. Yeah, if you guys, motherfucker. It's not even the right Mannequin. You look at the Steam store and you look at Mannequin. It's not even the right one.
Is there a VR adaptation of the old movie Mannequin?
Dude, I hope so.
Up down.
Right? Absolutely. I just watched that again recently. Not going to lie. we had been talking about it in voice chat or maybe on Gamescast or something. And we talked about it so much that I was like, you know, I just need to fucking watch this and get it out of my head, get it out of my system. And I still thoroughly enjoyed it. It's great.
Really? Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, I don't think it was a great movie in the 80s, and so it's certainly not a great movie now, but it's still enjoyable. What's her name from Sex and the City? I forget, but
yeah, I don't know
who. Yeah, I'd be asking a lot, I think. So anyway, Kim Cattrall, fuck yeah. Damn, that is, did you give me that or did Chrome Colossus give me that?
No, that's Chrome Colossus, 100%.
All right. I think it's pretty evident that 2v3 asymmetrical. There it is right here. Right, like literally the first 2 seconds of the video. My focus is not really with this at the moment, though. It looks okay. Like I really hope that, you know, this is probably early gameplay. It looks, you know, graphically a little bland, a little on the tame side. I'm sure they're just trying to like show us what the gameplay is like. And I'm sure by the time it hits PSVR2, it'll look a whole lot better. But, you know, this doesn't blow me away or anything, what they're showing here. It seems like a cool concept, but it's not something I'm like racing out to. Man, I really wish I could play this right now. I'm sure it's fine.
I think the art style is pretty cool. I think the concept's really cool. You know, I love it when a studio brings something completely unique. And this is really a whole new game. Among Us is the closest thing that we have to it, but only in the fact that it's another social deduction game. But this is a very different game than Among Us. It's very different than anything we've seen before. So that has me fairly excited about it. I'm a little afraid that they're being a little bit generous with their testing here. You know, they seem to be taking all comers in and letting them play for free right now, and that could affect their bottom line later. I've seen it happen with other games where they just let everyone have a copy in beta to kind of shore up their lobbies, so to speak, make sure there's going to be players in there. But then, you know, these same games end up closing shop within 2 months because nobody goes and buys the game. Everyone got it for free. So I'm a little concerned on that front, but I think the game itself seems like a cool concept. I have intentionally avoided going in and being a beta tester because I want it to be a little bit more fleshed out when I make my first impressions of it. But I don't know. I'm somewhat optimistic about it. I'm a fan of the studio, and I think this is a really cool and unique idea.
Nice. Yep. I definitely think it looks cool. As Distracted said in the chat, he says, I can't trust multiplayer games on PSVR 2 at the moment. All my multiplayer games seem to be dead. That is true. It is just it's just what we're dealing with right now. And so that's why these cross-platform games are so important. I think that, you know, we definitely lean heavily on the on Quest players to get multiplayer games going. But, you know, Quest, there's definitely... anytime I've been thrown into a room with a bunch of Quest players, it's more often than not that it's a bunch of squeakers. And so, that's why Sirens on my end, if you're going to lean on something, maybe cross-platform play isn't the thing to lean on. If you're a PSVR 2 gamer, you can lean on our Discord, to get a game going. Some people aren't even willing to try that. They're like, no, it should just have people playing. And I was like, hey man, it's a growing medium. It's a growing medium, and we have to deal with some growing pains along the way. We do have answers for you though, and I love playing with friends, man. I don't want to play with a bunch of randoms.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I don't play with randos ever. I would never do that. Like, I'm not a big multiplayer guy anyway. But if I'm getting in there, you damn well better believe it's going to be with friends. Squeakers or not, I don't want to talk to people. I have social anxiety. Brian, I don't want to talk to people I don't know.
This Game Cat meetup's going to be phenomenal.
I think we're going to know most of it, at least know the handles. Like, I'm not going to recognize hardly anyone's face. You're going to have to introduce yourself to me. After you tell me who you are, then I'll know you. But please do that within the first three or four sentences that you say to me.
Two seconds. Yeah. I'm going to... I'm going to hide behind
you. You should have name tags.
Yes. My name tag is going to say Skiva.
Mine's going to say PAX Media on it. I'll have my badge on as usual.
Yeah. Did we have to pick our shit up there, or did they actually send you stuff?
No, you got to get it to Will Call. They sent a QR code in one of the emails. You got to take that up and let them scan it.
I think I saw that. This is how unprepared I am. I'm just kind of like figuring shit out last second. Speaking of last second, it sounds like any second now, we might be getting a release date for Compound. This developer's stated, I think it's Not Dead. Is that the name of the studio? I fucking got this wrong, I think. They submitted a build to Sony. For QA, or they're about to, I'm sorry, they're about to submit a build to Sony for QA. Tell me that this is a great game, Wes, because I've heard people talk about it, but I never played it myself.
This is a very fun game. It is a bit simplistic and retro in its art style, but it is a kind of a throwback roguelike shooter that really does have some cool nostalgia vibes going on for it, and it is extremely challenging. There's a wide variety of weapons, a lot of variety of the gameplay. There's a lot of game here in general. It was a game that was in development on PC for many years, like 5, 6, 7 years to get this thing out. And it's very good. It's popular on Steam, and I don't know how well it did on Quest. I do believe it came to Quest, and it was kind of so-so received. But it is a good game. Definitely better than, what was that other one? That other retro shooter we got last year? The one that's just bland. I forget what it's called.
This is 20 questions.
Something 99. No? Don't ring a bell? Okay.
Dude, nothing is ringing a bell right now. That's awful. I'm so glad I'm hosting 20 questions tonight, because...
X99, was that what it's called? X99?
X99. I thought that was the third verse game, no?
Hold on. I'll figure it out.
Listen, I'm loving this art style. You guys know that I'm a big retro fan. This has some, you know, ancient dungeon, but not ancient dungeon vibes going on. Very retro inspired. And you know, word on the street is that maybe they're doing some ancient dungeon stuff here with the taking advantage of the PSVR 2 headset. So if this is running as crisp and as clear and as fast as Ancient Dungeon, but it gives you that first person shooter gameplay mechanic rather than the sword and shield stuff, then this could be my next obsession. Tatum in the chat definitely pointed out that it is a roguelite, but don't let that deter you from trying this out because he says it's great.
It's B99 Overclock, Brian. And,
oh my God!
This game is much better than B99 Overclocked.
Okay, yeah, B99. Everybody in the chat was thinking B99. You could have given me all day, and I wouldn't have gotten that. B99 was fun. It takes way too long to get going. I did enjoy it ultimately, though.
I didn't think it was terrible. It was just kind of average.
Yeah,
for me, I saw potential there. I still think that a few tweaks could make it into a really good game, but it was just okay.
Yeah, I just prefer this art style, and the art style of B99 and soundtrack did not resonate with me. So I was just like, oh yeah, it's a decent roguelite, but you know, it's nothing else about this is pulling me in, making me go, oh yeah, yeah, I really want to be here. So that's cool, man. Another quality game coming our way. Must be soon. I can't imagine this is going to have too much of a problem getting through QA, especially if they're running at a high frame rate. Death's going to have too many issues.
I imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I imagine it would be.
Let's tackle some tips, man. I feel like I'm letting these get away from me. Metal Game Cat. Rare Solid Fritz with the €6 says, "Hey Brian, hey Game Cat. Just to let you know, at the hotel there is a free all day coffee bar in the lobby, so you should be able to keep your caffeine level up, dude. You know what? I didn't even think about the hotel. I mean, I've thought about the hotel plenty, but Jeremy and Michelle are coming in on Friday, and they're not actually going to PAX." So if we get any old school cats coming to this meetup who want to come hang out, meet Jeremy and Michelle, maybe we should just do this. I was wondering where near the convention center we should meet up with them. But it seems like maybe the hotel is the best bet. So I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never been to this place. I don't know how it's set up, but, yeah, if there's a nice little gathering area, a bar or anything down in the lobby, it would, make sense.
Yeah. I agree, but also free coffee sounds fucking amazing. They don't know what they're getting in for. I'm gonna make money on this deal. Holy shit. Living Legend with the Canadian $5 tip says, "Happy West Day, Game Cats. Are you gonna cop a PS5 Pro on release to test what impact it will have for VR, or will you wait a bit?" I mean,
want me to go?
Go ahead, man. Tell me your story.
I'm going to wait. I'm definitely going away because I don't know what's coming. When PS4 Pro came, it turned out that eventually it was a must-have for VR. But that only was the case after developers had to patch their games for it. And, you know, are developers going to be as compelled this generation? Because most of the games look pretty great on the base console this time around, save a few. We're looking at you, Green Hell. I'm going to wait because, you know, I rushed out to get a PS5 on launch. I pre-ordered it on the assumption that I was going to be able to play VR on it within a year. And it, as you know, it took much longer than that. I could have definitely waited to get it and save myself all of that time and frustration. So I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait until I know that there's a reason that I need it because I don't flat game. And until we start getting some pro patches or some games that are enhanced for pro, or at least we get some word that there's just going to be an automatic bump for every game, I don't know that I need it.
I don't know that I need it. I think by the time it comes out, we're going to be seeing a lot of improvements, hopefully, but you know, the reprojection system gets taken care of by then. Hopefully, you know, developers figure out the engines that they're using by then. Everybody's using dynamic foveated rendering. You know, we're talking at least 6 months from now, if not a few more than that. And so I do feel like a lot of these hurdles, all these speed bumps that we've kind of had along the way, I think this will all be relatively taken care of by then. And so people are going to really see what their PS5 is capable of in VR. That said, I bought a Pro pretty much right away, and I really enjoyed it. And I, you know, when you first jump into it, you're like, oh man, I don't know. Farpoint doesn't look that much better, but then you try to go back.
It does.
Yeah. When you go back is when you're like, oh shit, I can't go back. And so it's these you know, things that seem subtle until you really compare them side by side, and you're like, this is so, so improved. So, I already have so much to do on the channel that, like, you know, I end up being paralyzed by the amount of work that I have to do. And, but I do feel like this is something that's important for the channel to be able to compare a couple of games, at least right off the bat. I'm not going to like compare every single game that comes out, but I would love to make, you know, a video or two comparing some side by side stuff and saying, hey, here are the differences. As I did with the PS5, I made videos for the PS5. And the difference it makes when you run PlayStation VR 1 on it. So that's what I did then. And I'll probably do the same thing for here as well. But I'm not going to be comparing every single game because that would just be a ridiculous amount of work. That's not going to happen. But yes, I will definitely buy a Pro at launch to give you guys the rundown.
Yeah, and I'm fairly confident that eventually it will be a very noticeable difference. You know, with the PS4 Pro, you know, at the very least, we saw a pretty heavy reduction in aliasing, and all of those games that had fixed foveated rendering on the original PlayStation, a lot of those games were able to just get rid of that on the Pro. You know, a lot, the kind of the big issue this generation has been the reprojection, like you mentioned. And you talked about, well, maybe they'll fix the reprojection system. I imagine that if this PS5 Pro is a big enough bump to the capability performance, then reprojection won't even be an issue on it. Like, it won't need to use reprojection. It'll just be able to do a 90 native, and you know, reprojection will be a thing that we see on the regular version of the console, not on Pro. So if it does anything like that, just out of the box, it's going to be worth a purchase for me.
Yeah.
I just want to know for sure that there's a reason for me to grab it. That's all.
Smith says, Brian, can you please compare the disc PS5 versus the non-disc PS5? Would love to see the graphical distance difference. I love it. I love it.
Have you bought any physical games this generation? Like, I bought the disc version so that I could bring my PSVR 1 physical collection along with me, but I don't think I've bought a single PSVR 2 game on disc.
Man, that's an excellent question. I don't know if I have any physical. There were a couple physical PS5 games that I bought. I ended up buying Returnal, you know, but nothing for PSVR 2.
Me too. Me too.
I have Returnal and like maybe two or three other PS5 games, but nothing. Nope.
I have No Man's Sky that I've carried over from last gen. Oh, yeah. Like that was a free upgrade to PS5, so I guess I have that.
I mean, dude, so many PSVR 1 games that like I'm probably just never going to put in my PlayStation 5 because my camera's not even set up. I'm not even set up to play PSVR 1 games, which is so sad. It's so sad. Ace Gamer, the Gamer Cat with $50, saying, just a little walking around money for PAX. P.S. Be sure to wear your Game Cat hoodie. Thanks, Ace Gamer. Nice. Holy crap. Do I have any fucking Game Cat merch to wear? I don't think I do. That's the worst. I don't think I have any Game Cat merch to wear. I'm going to be in disguise.
Everyone wears their own merch at these things. Brian. So you're going to be like fish out of water. Nobody's going to know who you're from.
Thank God. That's the goal, Wes. Mission accomplished, and we haven't even gotten there. I love it. I love it. Thank you very much, Ace Gamer. Appreciate it. Thank you to everybody who's tipping. We really appreciate all the support, as always. Wes, we got to talk about some Twilight Zone, man. That is the name of the show. That is the thumbnail. I don't want Waleed getting mad at me for us getting to the end of the show and losing steam and not being able to talk about Twilight Zone. You and I both played Twilight Zone on PSVR 2. You had the luxury of playing it on Quest prior. So let's talk about this thing, man. Like, I know we're going to have differing opinions, so I want you to go first. Tell me your thoughts on this game all around.
Well, I mean, we've talked about this game before. Like I've said on multiple occasions, I almost don't want to call it a game because gameplay isn't why you would want to go into this. Right. It's more about the experience, about the stories and scenarios that you find yourself in. It's more about being in three episodes of the Twilight Zone. That's the draw here. There is gameplay, and it is fun at times. I mean, it's just kind of basic gameplay. You have a very basic stealth stage. You have a very basic shooter stage, and then you have kind of a surreal maze-like stage at the end. But again, that's just stuff to keep you occupied as you make your way through the world and kind of uncover what's happening and what the story is. And the really cool thing about it is if you're super perceptive, you'll notice Easter eggs and things that link the stories together, so that by the time you get to the end of it, there's like this kind of underlying meaning to everything, which is really awesome. I think it's pretty good. Again, it's not going to be for everyone. But if you're into kind of like thrillers, suspense type things, there's a little bit of a horror element to it. Or if you're just a fan of the Twilight Zone, I think this is going to be worth the $20 or so that they're going to ask for it. Now, as far as the upgrade, it's marginal. It's a marginal upgrade. You can still tell that at its foundation, at its core, that this was a Quest game. But it does look better. There's better lighting. There are some new character models, some new assets, so to speak, that are a bit higher resolution. And there's definitely use of the haptics, both in the controllers and the headset, as well as the triggers. So it is an enhanced version of the game, but it isn't like such a profound enhancement that I would suggest someone who already owns the game on Quest pick it up again, because it's just so much different. It's not that much different. It's a very similar experience. Definitely superior. So if you don't have it on either, I recommend you pick it up on PlayStation. But if you already have it, probably not going to be worth picking up a second time.
It's good to hear. And I'm glad you went first, because I didn't want to start off too negative. I know you know this already, but I played through the PSVR 2 version. I was capturing review footage. I also tried to capture some live stream or let's play footage, I guess, of me actually playing the game and narrating the whole time. And I hope I didn't screw that up today and accidentally delete the footage I needed for that. But because I was trying to do multiple things at once, I was like, well, I'm playing it. I got to push through and just play the whole thing at once. It's like 2 hours and 15 minutes or so, start to finish. It's not terribly long. And so I should have stopped playing after the first episode, and like I didn't feel right. My stomach was very unhappy with me. Like, it felt like I was all twisted up, which is generally my first indication that I'm suffering from motion sickness. I do not suffer from motion sickness often, but this game definitely made me sick. I was using smooth turning, and the game was running reprojected at 120, and somehow all of that working together just really fucked with me. Now, I have been in touch with the port studio, VR Monkey, of course, and based on my reaction to it, they are getting the game up and running, and they should be delivering a 90 hertz native patch soon. So it should look and play even better. However, I feel like I got to kind of dissect this game a little bit by chapter. Feel free to jump in whenever you want, Wes, because I do think that there are good chapters or good episodes, and there are bad episodes. I think that the first one is the standout. The first one, you're playing a role of a computer programmer or game developer, and you end up in the office late at night all by yourself, and then you're the victim of a stalker. And I will say, without spoiling anything, some of the like the concept of it is some of the coolest, most creative shit I've ever seen in VR. And then I agree with you, you're not playing this for the gameplay. And unfortunately, as soon as you're like, oh man, that's so cool what they did here, immediately I'm like, oh, but this is so fucking boring. And just get so bored, because it is just boring stealth. And it's actually, in the further you play, the cheaper it feels. Like the spawn point of your enemy just like changes, and just to make sure he's always near you. And you're like, this feels so fucking cheap. And picking up cans and throwing them to distract him, and it fucking doesn't even matter half the time. Like, it sucks. And then like at the, you know, near the end of the episode, all of these feature some kind of maze. Maybe all of them, at least the first two feature a maze. And I hate mazes in video games. So like these, it felt like they were just really trying to stretch the shit out. And so I was like, what started with an amazing concept just fell completely apart for me. I was like, get me out of this goddamn maze. And then when you get out of the maze, first of all, it's the first time you end up outside, and talk about when you're in the game studio and it's lit up by Christmas lights, right? And everything is really completely dark, and all the offices just have like computer monitors lit up. I was like, you know, for a quest port, this looks pretty damn good. No Mura whatsoever. Just like the blacks are very, very black. Everything looks good. Whatever. Dude, the second you step outside, it's like the rest of this game looks like fucking looks bad. Right? It's just, oh man, there's like this level of fog and just no detail in the textures, and everything just suddenly like somebody turned the lights on and I realized I was no longer drunk and my date is ugly. Like that's what it felt like. And so I feel like episode one ends on a low note, and then episode two and three, like, just never really get much better with some exceptions. But I mean, do you agree with me? Episode one, especially the concept that it starts with, is by far the best part of this game.
Well, it's amazing. It really is amazing. It's something like, oh, why didn't I think of that? Like, it's such a good idea. And we would be more specific, but we don't want to ruin it. Just telling you what it is would completely ruin the experience.
Right.
But that was definitely the coolest part of the game, and something I really a concept that I hope we see kind of revisited in maybe even more chapters for this game, or you know, in other titles. But that was a really cool concept, the way that they put that in there. And you know, I was kind of digging the gameplay of the first chapter for a while. Mm-hmm. I'm specifically susceptible to being chased in VR. That's something that typically does get my pulse up. So the fact that this was a stealth level where you've got something coming after you worked for a while, but it drags on, right? It's like they stick with that same hook for the entire level. Yep. And then by the time you're halfway through it, you're just ready to get it over with, you know? But you have to play through it. You can't just stop, because the story doesn't really reveal itself until the end of the chapter. So you gotta kind of just suffer through it.
Yep.
Until you get to the end. But no, I think that the concept that this level was built on was extremely good. It probably should have been a little shorter, or they should have introduced another element, another layer of gameplay onto it to keep it fresh all the way to the end of the chapter.
Agreed. And man, so like, because the first one was so interesting and so unique in certain ways, I was like, well, thank goodness I'm on to chapter two or episode two, and I can't wait to see what they introduce in this one. And they don't really introduce fucking anything. They give you a weapon and you have to kind of just like pull it back with decent haptics, because you know, when you pull it back and you get a couple shots off before you have to pull it back again. And you kill enemy sirens on my end that like just take one or two shots to kill. They just disappear in a cloud of smoke. And just, I mean, again, you're in these sewers, and it feels very maze-like for a good chunk of it. And the end of it has you collecting car batteries, and just the whole time I'm just like, this feels so dumb. And the first-person shooter aspect of it, I feel like, is what it has going on. Like, that's the hook of this one. It's like, oh, we've given you a weapon. Aren't you happy? And I'm like, well, yeah, but, I mean, for a minute, I'm very unhappy again, because there's nothing to do. This one just feels bland from start to finish. And I guess at the very end of it delivers a little bit of Twilight Zone type story. The very beginning and the very end. And all of the middle is just fucking bland.
Yeah, the story was the big takeaway for me on the second chapter. The first person shooter gameplay. Well, I mean, it adds something because now at least you have something to do in it. It's definitely very, very basic. I think the environment's pretty cool. I think if this were a game that were developed for PlayStation or PC, the environments would have been super cool. But I think it was this chapter that it was most obvious that they didn't enhance everything, right? Like, you have these creatures, these monsters that are enhanced, are really creepy and scary looking. But then you walk up to a brick wall and it looks like you're on 16-bit Nintendo or something. Like, the textures are, the resolution's just so low on it. So I agree. I think the second chapter is probably the worst one, but the story is really cool. The environments are pretty cool. The scenario that you're in is cool. Again, much like the first chapter, just the gameplay is not all that great, and it drags on a little bit.
Yeah. And then the third one is you're a writer, and it takes place basically during an alien invasion. Humans become enslaved to the aliens. Again, much like the first one, I thought it started strong. Probably within about 10 minutes, I was bored out of my skull, and I remained that way until the very end of it. They allow you to keep your weapon this time around, so you get to kill some shit. But man, I just feel like it just was kind of boring all over the place. And it just gave you lots of, it was maze-like, but I never got lost. It just really was doing everything in its power to prolong the gameplay part of it. I was feeling motion sick, and so I desperately wanted to be over as fast as possible. But I imagine that I would have felt the same way, just out of sheer boredom, even if I wasn't feeling sick.
So the third chapter is my favorite. Like, I really enjoyed the third chapter, especially the first half of it when you're in the house. Like, I thought that was awesome. This is what I want more of in video games. This kind of anything can happen. Don't blink, don't turn around, because everything's going to change if you turn around. That's what I love more than anything in VR. And this chapter starts off giving you that. I also loved right at the very beginning when you step outside and the alien ships come down and they're hovering in the sky. That was just a cool ominous vibe that I've had in so many recurring nightmares before, that it's kind of cool to experience it in my waking life for a change. After you get outside the house, it looks cool. Like the environments are really cool looking, the kind of futuristic Matrix type world that you go into. But I definitely preferred the kind of surreal horror game that was unfolding at the beginning part of the chapter to how the chapter actually ended up ending.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel like the cool moments and the cool pieces of story that you get, in my book at least, are not worth playing through the game in order to experience. I know that's probably where it sounds like we agree for the most part about everything we've brought up so far, but I think the ultimate verdict, I think you probably think it's worth playing through to experience those things, and I personally don't.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's where we disagree. For me, the highs outweigh the lows here. Just the fact that You know, there are things being done here that we've never seen before, ideas we've never seen that are really cool. And then the fact that they're using some surrealism here, and that the backstory for every chapter is actually pretty cool. That's worth the 2 hour playthrough, you know, an hour of which is going to bore you. The other hour, I think, is worth, you know, worth your time anyway.
And there you have it. And there you have it. I will say, like I said, I'm so happy to hear that VR Monkey is putting in the work to make this run at 90 native, so that at least the technical problems won't be so irritating. So that at least if you do decide to play through it, you know, you'll experience the things that Wes and I would both like you to experience without getting sick. Although you didn't feel anything, huh? It didn't get to you?
No. No, I noticed the reprojection, but I didn't feel any kind of discomfort from it. I just phased it out like I do with so many of these ports that come over with reprojection. I think if they tighten that up a little bit, obviously I would love to see some high-res textures all over everything, right? But I don't know that we're ever going to get that. But I think the only really glaring thing that really was a heavy negative for me was the reprojection, and from the sound of it, they're already working on getting rid of that.
Yep. Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be delivered sooner rather than later. I think I don't want to promise anything because I don't know the details, but it sounds like it's happening very quickly. So that's a good thing. Yeah, so definitely a mixed bag here. But hopefully it means it'll end up being the best way to play it. So there's that.
I think it already is. Even with the reprojection, with all the haptics and the things that they did update graphically, I think it's already the best way to play it.
Oh, right. I remember what I wanted to say. I keep trailing off and like losing my train of thought. But yeah, no, I notice reprojection all the time. I can always tell when something's reprojected. And it's sometimes for me, it's distracting. I didn't feel like it was distracting for me in this game, which is the weird thing, right? Because I think most, especially when the first, I don't know, 30 or 40 minutes that I played, all took place in the dark, right? It was like this dark office building. And so it wasn't even noticeable then. And I was actually kind of wowed by the lack of Mura at all, right? Just everything looked clean and clear. And I don't even think I realized that the smooth turning in the jitters there were causing me to get sick at first. And so, yeah, so it was strangely wasn't, you know, it wasn't the reprojection, or maybe it was the reprojection and it just, the reprojection got really, really bad with smooth turning. And I would have just, I'm going to have to reorganize my entire place because I think when you're like me and you have a really small place to play and you rely on analog sticks for turning, then you find yourself experiencing some of these problems more, right? Obviously, reprojection can be noticeable no matter what, but it seems like with smooth turning, it's when it's at its absolute worst. Cause then you kind of have the whole world stuttering a little bit.
I certainly would concur with that. I play seated 99% of the time. So I rely heavily on the smooth turning. So that probably doesn't help matters at all.
Right. So so being able to turn, you know, in real life, you know, because one of the things that many people like told me, oh, you got to get a quest, right? So you can just kind of turn naturally, you know. And I was like, so I got a quest, and I was like, oh shit, there was a reason why I wasn't turning even with my PSVR1, and it's because I'm gonna punch my wall or run into my bookcase or something. I don't have a whole lot of room to play. So, yeah. Anyway. That's our thoughts on the Twilight Zone. I'm going to throw a Brian Bite together and get that out hopefully soon. I've got plans to get a lot of stuff out before I leave for PAX, running out of time very, very quickly. So at best, I think I've got two videos that I can get out before I leave tomorrow. So we'll see how that works out. Let me bring up my run of show here. Make sure we didn't miss anything. Random Toxie, the GT Drive-In Stone Mining Game Cat in the chat said, considered for your approval, one Mr. Brian Paul. Normally, his VR legs are on point, but tonight, that is all about to change. Because tonight, Mr. Paul is about to take his first motion 6 steps into the Twilight Zone. I didn't see who wrote it, but there's somebody in the chat said, I'm just going to wait for the Outer Limits VR game, which is probably not a bad idea. All right, man. I think we should play a little 20 questions and get this show wrapped up. What do you? Whoa, nice background. I love it. Oh, man. All right, man. I'm gonna yeah, 20 questions time, guys. Holy crap, my brain is fucking fried. I'm gonna put 6 minutes up on the clock, cough on the counter the way that Jeremy likes it. You guys out there in West right up here has 6 minutes and 20 yes or no questions to figure out what PSVR 1 or PSVR 2 game I'm thinking of. You ready for this one, Wes? It's gonna be a real something.
You're gonna AJ the fuck out of it like AJ did on Monday?
Dude.
Yeah, no, right.
Right? I mean, he redefined AJing the fuck out of something. Indeed. All right, man. Let's do this thing. On your mark, get Dez. Go.
Is this game on PlayStation VR 2 or has it been announced for PlayStation VR 2?
No.
No. Okay. So PSVR 1. Is this game on other platforms?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Is this game playable flat?
Not to my knowledge. Let's see. No, it's not.
Okay.
So, not according to the PlayStation Store.
So you said, I'm sorry, did you say this was on other platforms?
Yes.
Or no? Yes. So it's cross-platform, PSVR 1 only. Is it based on a known IP?
No.
All right. So VR only, not based on an IP, but cross-platform. Does it have a realistic art style?
No. That's five.
Does it support multiplayer?
No.
So no multiplayer, not realistic, so cartoony or retro. Does it have a retro vibe?
Did you say cartoony?
I said that it's either cartoony or retro because you said it wasn't realistic.
Okay, got it. And what was your question?
Does the game have a retro vibe to it?
No. I don't think so.
So most likely cartoony because it isn't realistic. And okay, is this a shooter?
Nope.
A puzzler?
I would say some puzzle solving elements, but I would not call it a puzzle game.
All right, so there's some puzzles in here. Is it first person?
I think most people would put this not in the first person genre. Although there are first person elements.
Is there a walking, fighting, talking mouse in this game?
No, that's 10. No. I had to think about what you were talking about. That's how fucked up I am right now.
All right. So you said most people would not consider this first person, although there are first person elements.
I mean, I think especially if you watch trailers or only played it for a little bit, you'd be like, oh yeah, it's a third person game. But the more you play, the more you're like, oh yeah, there's first person stuff to do here.
So it's got puzzle elements, but it's not a puzzler. Like I would consider Ghost Giant to be a puzzler, so it's probably not Ghost Giant. We just ruled out Moss. What other third person games is it? Did I ask you about multiplayer yet? I did.
You did.
You said no multiplayer.
None. Yep.
All right. So it's not Carly and the Reaper Man. What are some other third person games people that have first person elements to it? How about
Sirens?
Okay. No, because Down the Rabbit Hole would be based on an IP. It can't be that. Wayward Sky? Did this come out in the first 2 years of PSVR?
You say the first 2 years?
Yeah.
Yes.
So it did. Okay. It can't be Wayward Sky, though, because I think Wayward Sky was PSVR exclusive. Along Together, maybe. Lost Bear. Yeah, I don't think it's Lost Bear. Could be Trover. I don't think Trover came out in the first 2 years, though. Astrobot wasn't first 2 years. Theseus? I don't know. Maybe. I don't know enough about Theseus or Along Together, really, to ask any more questions about them. Job Sim is completely first person. It's not Trover, guys. Trover came out later. It probably is Along Together, but I don't know. No, Adventure Time didn't come to PSVR. Along Together, what would be some defining characteristics of Along Together? Is the third person character, is it a female?
Unknown. Oh, I'm sorry. The third person character is unknown.
Is it unknown because of 2024 gender theory, or is it just really unknown?
I think it's just unknown. But
okay.
I'm doing.
I didn't want to
quick
misgender
research.
The character. That's all I'm saying.
I love your sensitivity.
Let's see here. Marvels could be. Is it a platformer?
Yes, I would say a lot of it's a platformer.
Is it developed by Vitruvius?
No.
Games? No, so it's not Marvels. Is there a dog in it?
Is there a dog in it? I want to say briefly.
Has this developer done other PSVR games?
It's an excellent question.
The fact that you have to think about it rolls out Pixel Ripped.
Yep. I'm looking him up. No other PSVR games.
And I'm really kind of lost here. Is it developed by Turbo Button?
No. It's 15.
So that was Along Together, I think. Counting Plus is first person.
In a very roundabout way, they worked on. No, they didn't. Forget it. That would just complicate things. I'm still working on the gender of the main character here.
It's not that important.
I want to say female.
I want to say female too, but I'm not sure. I think we just rolled out the game I was thinking of anyway.
All right, what game were you thinking of?
Along Together. Wasn't that a little girl in that one? I thought it was.
I think it was with the two characters. It was just a girl.
Yeah, you play one in first person. Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah,
maybe you get a pick.
Yep.
Okay.
I think you got like.
Would you say
three
that
questions
this,
and a guess?
Would you say that the game involves lost pets? How about that?
No.
No. Okay. So there you go. Was this game ever given away on PS Plus?
Not to my knowledge. No. I feel like I'm AJing the fuck out of this now.
I have one question and a guess, or just a guess.
One question and a guess. We're way over the time, so I'm just like we're just
okay.
We're just
would you call this an adventure game?
Adventure, in a sense. Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
All right, I'm just going to throw a guess out there. It's probably not it, but is this Theseus?
This is not Theseus. This is, in fact, 2017's The Lost Bear.
So what's the first person elements in The Lost Bear?
So you're sitting in a theater the whole time that you're playing.
Yeah.
Right?
I remember that.
And there, sometimes there's actual things for you to do in the theater in first person.
Yeah, they're like shooting out little barrels and things.
Shining like the flashlight and shit. Like on, I remember the creatures pop up and stuff, and you shine the flashlight on them, and it's right. It's minimal first person stuff, but it is there. Also, I just didn't remember if this little kid in the hat was a boy or a girl. Like it's been so long since I played it. I don't remember what the narrative was about. And so, yeah,
I remember liking it. I'd forgotten. See, I ruled that one out based on the first person interaction, but you're right. There are like obstructions and things in the path that you have to kind of move so that you can go from left to right.
And I do believe you provide with the DualShock 4, the flashlight for your character, so you can see where you're going in the dark areas and stuff Also, shout out to Secret Tub. As far as I know, they were the first one to say it, quite a while ago. Yep. Wes, you know how hard it is sometimes to pick a game that's challenging that I 100% am sure you've played? I have to go through your trophy list sometimes, and that's exactly what I did before the show.
You can't do that because I've played on like 5 different accounts.
Right.
So, and for some reason, I remember we brought this up before when I first joined the channel, and I went back to look at my trophies, and like most of the games that I played weren't even on there, and I was like, Where are these games? And then it occurred to me that I probably played on another account, Virtual Strangers account, where I have like 3 different like PlayStation accounts that are just mine. And over the years, I've used them all. So you really can't go by any of that.
Well,
and then there's a lot of these games too that I have played, but I played on like PC. So there's that too.
Right. Oh, Looper's got stats for us. Second time it's been picked. The first one was October 15th, 2021. Brian to AJ, he guessed it in 13 questions.
Well, he definitely thinks he's better than me, and he is wrong.
Man, I can't wait for you two to duke it out when you guys see each other.
We're going to have the opportunity to do that, like, soon. Like, really soon.
I'm going to get that on film.
It's weird, man. You talk about meeting, like, Jeremy and Michelle, which I've never met before. I've had some limited online contact with Jeremy when I was just a fan and he was a host. So it's going to be weird. I'm going to be all nervous and awkward around them because I've never met them before. But at the same time, I'm going to be somewhat comfortable around you because I've been talking to you fairly regularly for years now. And it's going to be an interesting time.
Sure is. It sure is. Andrew C says, how the hell do you know that, Looper? Dude, just a heads up. Looper knows all, right? He knows the answers to every 20 questions before we even play them. But he's also been keeping records of every 20 questions game ever made. I believe there's a link to all that, all those stats in the description somewhere of this video. But if not, then I'm sorry. Looper's wondering if Miles is on my couch. No, Miles got in at like, I don't think he even got to his place in Boston today until closer to 4 p.m. or so, which gave him no time to get to my place and do a games cast, thankfully, right? Because then like the night would be me getting him back to Boston and not getting any work done. And So unfortunately he was not able to make it today, but again, we're going to try to film as much stuff as possible with as many people as possible. It sounds like there's some people heading to the show that are interested in doing some shit with us, and my apologies for everyone I have not gotten back to yet. I'm doing my best. I don't even know where to start. Radboy in the chat, Wes says, Brian and Wes, thank you for everything you do. I'm super appreciate everything you guys do for the VR community. You guys are great. Thank you very much.
You're great. You enable us. We wouldn't be able to do anything if it weren't for people like you. Every bit of the influence that we have to get anything done stems from the fact that you all give a shit about what we say. So thanks for continuing to show up for us and continuing to keep us in the position that we enjoy.
Yep. Old Darth with the Canadian $2 tip says, is there a bounty on AJ's beanie? Listen, I'm scared to even make a joke about that, right? If I even make a joke about it, you know that somebody will like just do like some kind of drive-by. They'll run right by AJ and boom, right off of his head. And then it'll be my fault. I'll be responsible for that. So I don't even want to make a joke. But yes.
He's probably hiding something under there. It's probably got like head tat flames like Bam Bam Bigelow. And he probably got it when he was really young and he's not very proud of it anymore. So he wears a hat all the time.
Yeah. So that being said, I'll give $100 to anybody who can deliver it in a
game on. Right.
Oh man, I'm probably gonna wear this too. I don't want to just be walking around all exposed out there. So don't touch my hat. Don't touch AJ's beanie.
It's gonna be cold.
Well, I'll be good. Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you, compared to what you're used to, I guess. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's
it's 60 degrees here right now at the edge of dark. It's 60 degrees. So, I think it's going to be below freezing there at night. If what I saw was true. So it's going to be cold.
I did a quick search, I think last night. And so things could have changed, but I think, between 35 to, 45 degrees the whole time we're there. Dover, Delaware, which is, first of all, not a name I recognize, right? Usually a lot of tips come from like people that we see all the time. Dover, Delaware comes out of nowhere with a $500 tip and says, be excellent to each other and party on, dudes. Some good Bill and Ted quotations. Wow, Dover, Delaware, I don't even fucking know what to say, man. That is insanely generous.
That's incredible.
I feel like we should do the show for another hour because of Dover's generosity, but clearly I don't have it capacity.
Well, thanks to Dover, Delaware's generosity and the awesome Bill and Ted reference, I'm coming back in his honor with this Wayne's World reference, and we're in Delaware.
Fantastic. Oh, look, you're backwards here, forwards there, backwards here.
Boom.
Forwards there. Man, I got to really fucking clean the show up a little bit. Unbelievable generosity, Dover, Delaware. Please, if there's anything you ever want to talk about, we'll prioritize a viewer takeover question or two from you. Just, leave it over on Discord. It's sad that we're wrapping up the show. He hasn't commented. So, but we love you. Thank you very much. We appreciate everyone's generosity. It has been insane. I mean, don't forget that like we couldn't even gotten everybody to PAX if it wasn't for you guys. The generosity has been insane. And we just absolutely appreciate, everybody's support. You guys watch and keep us doing this all the time, but you really put your money where your mouth is when we came to you and said, hey, we're just trying to raise some money and make sure that everybody can get to PAX. And it really, I remember, dude, my mom called me and was like, my mom always watches, right? She's always been very supportive of what I do. And she's constantly telling me, man, you guys have the best community and everybody out there like really seems to love you guys and all of that. And I'm like, yeah, it's true. But man, when we did the fundraising stream, like she was more blown away than anybody, right? Because it was such a big deal for people to be that generous. And so we just want to make sure you guys know it's super duper appreciated. And we don't take anybody's generosity for granted, and we love you so very much for it.
Absolutely. Incredible. As I say it all the time, out of all everything we've accomplished over the last, 4 or 5 years that I've been doing it, and even longer that you've been doing it, the best thing that we've ever created is the community. And it's the thing I'm the most proud of. And you should be too, because the Game Cats are amazing.
Indeed. All right, you guys, it's time to get out of here. So thank you, everybody. And don't forget, this is the last show of the week, the last official show of the week. We'll do what we can. Once we get to Boston and figure that out, we're going to be setting up some kind of makeshift studio in my hotel room, I think. But we'll be filming as much as we possibly can throughout the entire time, and then probably stitching it together whenever possible. But thank you guys again for being here for the last official show of the week. Hopefully we'll see some of you at PAX starting tomorrow and throughout the course of the weekend. And again, join our Discord so you can stay up to date with wherever we are. I'll be tweeting, I'll be posting things on Discord, and we'll hopefully meet as many of you as possible. But thanks to everybody who helps this channel run, all my mods, Rypop for uploading this on podcast services of your choice. Sci-fi is not sci-fi. GameCat Henry is Rhodey, the GameCat Army General. That's going to be a tough one to break. That puts timestamps into the show after the fact. We got, everybody supports us on Patreon, all the members over here on YouTube, everyone who tips. Holy shit, Dover, Delaware. You're fucking amazing. But everyone who tipped today, thank you so very much. Everyone who sat back, watched the show, sirens on my end. And of course, everybody who didn't say a goddamn word. We know you're out there and we love you just as much. Wait a minute. Dover's here. He says, appreciate everything you guys do for us. Thanks from all us viewers. There we go. We got a final word from Dover. Happy Wednesday, Wes.
Awesome. Happy Wednesday, Brian. See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Holy shit. Let's go. AJ's in the chat. AJ says, had the show on the telly. On the telly? Is that a British thing?
We don't have those here.
Had the show. He capitalized telly too. Did he name his television telly? You think? Is that a thing?
telly the TV? Possibly.
Had the show on the telly while packing. See you, Brian and Wes and Miles and Kat and Devs in Boston tomorrow. Holy shit.
There's going to be some Devs in the house and there's going to be loads of Kats in the house. In fact, all of us are Kats. Hosts, Devs, and viewers alike. We're all Kats, and that's why we're all meeting.
Fucking crazy. Fucking crazy. My anxiety is through the roof. But you know what? It's going to be great. And just seeing you guys is going to be great.
I've been through enough of these in the last year to say it's only going to be weird for a little while.
Nice.
The weirdness goes away pretty quickly.
That's really fucking good to hear. I figured you wouldn't be, nervous or too anxious about all of this. Mostly because I know that you've gone all over the fucking place. AJ follows up his statement, by the way. He says, I flew to the UK. That's where we're meeting up, right? Amazing. Amazing. All right, you guys. We love you so very much. Have a great night.
Bye.